You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
All right, welcome in to Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company, Daily Vikings Entertainment, and our mission statement is very simple. The Vikings aren't living up to it with an 0-2 start. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. I'm Phil Mackey, Judd Zulgad, our executive producer, Declan Goff, and this is a four-question Friday, boys. Four hard-hitting questions about the Minnesota Vikings and life and philosophy. And if you're watching us on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, thank you for clicking the subscribe button. Helps us grow that channel. We're up over 17,000, which is kind of amazing. I don't know if we thought we were going to get to that many this year.
I won't be riding a
horse. Our goal was like 15. If we get to 50, Declan has to ride and brush a horse, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get to 50 by the end of the year. But if you're watching on a TCL TV, you're also supporting the show because TCL, in addition to being one of our partners, has a new lineup of award-winning TVs delivering the most entertainment with stunning resolution at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL.
All right.
Question number one. What will the Vikings' record be at the bye? Seahawks, Browns, Lions, all home games at Carolina. 3-0 Carolina.
Yeah. Impressive start for Sam Darnold, who maybe just had to, like Kurt Russell, escape New York to get what he needed.
Wow.
The Vikings' record at the bye will be 3-3, and here's why. They're going to sweep the homestand.
Wow. I 100% agree.
You want to write that down?
Because think about this. I could.
Should we impromptu to do it?
I mean, it's up to you guys. It's up to you guys if you want to, but
do it.
All right.
Okay. I was going to say the same thing, but Judd said it first, so Judd, it's got to be attached to Judd.
Write that down. Write this down.
All right.
The Vikings are going to beat Seattle, which will be a tough game, I do believe, on Sunday, but I think that they will. I think that they will. Well, I mean, most games are close, right? It's
not
a league.
Not this one.
It's a league that encourages close games, which is fine because that causes or that results in entertaining finishes. But then you've got Cleveland, and I think Cleveland on the road, Baker Mayfield, and I earlier predicted this as a loss, but the more I watch the Browns, I think the Browns at home are good, and I think the Browns are a nice story, but Baker Mayfield is the type of quarterback who, in the environment he's going to play at US Bank Stadium, melts down. The noise will get to him. It's tough. You've got to go to silent counts. Silent counts, I'm not sure if you guys know this, are very difficult. So the Browns game, I think the Vikings win, and then you've got Detroit. And if you don't beat Detroit, you're in trouble. So I think 3-0, so they're 3-2 coming out of the homestand, and then I'll say they go to Carolina and lose. But I'm going to be pretty optimistic here and continue to apply the pressure to a team that has some elements where I still think they're good. Sorry, still think they're not. They are a team that I am going to continue until they're basically put in the ground to have expectations for. 3-3 at the bye.
All right. I agree with what Judd's saying, and I feel like here's where I've come this week. When they lost that game to the Cardinals and Greg Joseph misses the two short kicks, I was for like 48 hours, I was focused on all of the things that, not just the kicking game, but like all the other things that they could have done better, right? Their defense and Brashad Breeland and, you know, offensive line is still a bottom 10 in terms of pass block win rate and whatnot. But the reality is, if Greg Joseph just makes a standard 37-yard field goal, the Vikings come away 1-1, first two games on the road, including a win at the Cardinals. And everyone thinks the Cardinals are this team on the rise. I mean, that's such an impossible division, so who knows if they're going to make the playoffs. But I think people would feel pretty darn good, despite some of the flaws, if they just make that field goal. And so maybe missing that field goal is what will spark them to be so dialed in these next three games. Like, the Vikings are still 1.5-point underdogs at home, but this is a gettable game. The Seahawks defense is not what it was 5 or 6 years ago. Their offensive line, I mean, Russ can get away from pressure better than most quarterbacks, but their offensive line is not very good still, even though they made a couple upgrades. So the Vikings win on Sunday. I think Kirktober starts early this year, baby. I think Kirk has a big game on Sunday.
It started.
Kirktober.
And I agree with Judd. I think it's three straight home wins followed by a tough road loss at Carolina, limping into the bye a little bit. But 3-3 after an 0-2 start would be a nice record at the bye. So, Dex, where are you at with this?
I think they'll lose
0-6.
More. Yeah, no, I don't think they'll be 0-6. I do think 2-4. I think they're probably going to be about 2-4. I think they win two out of these three games at home. The Panthers game, I don't know. All right, look, it's great that Sam Darnold's off to this great start, but look, at the Panthers haven't beaten anybody. I mean, they beat the Texans, who are just a dumpster fire. I believe they beat the Giants, too, or one of the New York teams early this year. So I wouldn't say that they're scary, but good for them getting off to a 3-0 start. Gives you a cushion. I think they're 2-4 at the bye is where I'm at right now.
The Panthers have had, because I think it was the Jets, so, and then the Texans, like, it's about as easy of a schedule as you can have through three games, but their defense looks really good. Sam Darnold does look like a more competent quarterback. They do have, now, Christian McCaffrey, what's his status now?
We don't know, and it's a hamstring, and it could be a while. That's bad news.
Yeah, you got to hurt.
It's good news if you're the Vikings.
You know, durability. Dalvin's not Mr. Durable, but I think he's been more durable over the last 2 or 3 years than Christian McCaffrey.
The last 2 years, for sure, now. Because I think McCaffrey started his career with some incredible streak of games played, but the last 2 years have been a disaster for him.
Yep. So, all right, question number two.
You like that?
The entire world laughed at the Timberwolves this week and has been laughing at them
for
a long time.
Joke continues.
Yeah.
Does the chronic Timberwolves instability make you guys appreciate the Vikings more?
Absolutely, but I've always, so under the Wilfs, because Vikings had dumpster fire problems themselves, and of course 2005, which was the Wilfs' first year, was also the Love Boat, and there was a lot of stuff like that previously. But if you look at this thing, and I think you have to give credit in some ways to Spielman and Zim, they've run a pretty stable ship. Some things have gone wrong, but that's true of lots of teams. Yes, I think that what the Vikings, the frustration, in fairness, is the Vikings can't win a championship. Well, that's a pretty decent frustration as opposed to, I wish they could make the playoffs sometimes. I wish they weren't a dumpster fire. I wish the people that own them weren't incompetent, which is our argument or our problem with the Wolves. So, yes, definitely, when we talk about the Vikings' problems, I think it's not being able to get a good seat at Murray's, like a good table, which is a pretty good problem to have. When we talk about the Wolves' problems, I don't want to insult restaurants, but it's a very different conversation. So, long answer to your question, absolutely.
Yeah, Dex, go ahead.
But say easily. I've had 1 foot out of the water with this Wolves for the Wolves team for the last 15 years of my life. I loved when KG was here. The run of the Western Conference Finals was legitimately one of the most fun seasons in Minnesota sports. It was awesome to see Spree and Cassell here. But the Vikings, I mean, look, they find a way to break your heart at the end. And they've had some certain dysfunction off the field, even in my lifetime. But yes, it makes me appreciate the Vikings way more after watching what the Timberwolves have done, especially over the last 18 years.
Yeah, I want to draw a distinction in that I don't want to celebrate average. Like in the Vikings, there's a lot of average with the Vikings. You know, they're constantly fighting to make the playoffs and a lot of 7-9, 8-8, 9-7, 10-6. And for my money, not enough 11-5, 12-4. I mean, I'm not saying you have to go 12-4 every year. know, that's unrealistic. But right. But when you compare that to every, on average, every 2.5 years, the Wolves are up, you know, it's an upheaval in their front office and new coaches, and they're alienating star players. The Timberwolves have never even retired a jersey. They've been around since the late 80s.
Malik Sealy.
Malik, but yeah, that was out of
But that's that was ceremony.
Okay, yeah. Ceremony. Like,
but yes, they have not retired 21.
They have one great player in franchise history who they've alienated. And, you know, when you then go back and sort of juxtapose against the Vikings have had the same GM for a decade. He's been in the organization for 15 years. They've had the same head coach for 8 years. They have engaged ownership. I mean, the engaged but not meddling, right? The Wolves are very interested. I think they regularly have checkpoints and meetings to just be in the loop on how to make this franchise continue to be relevant and win. Now, again, have they gotten to the ultimate goal? No, and they should continue to be held to a standard of Super Bowl, in my opinion. But they're competitive every year. And outside of Love Boat, you know, 15 years ago, yeah, a few little legal things here and there. They're not a laughing stock. Like, very rarely are people laughing at the Vikings for just like general structural train wreck things. People laugh at the Vikings for their mishaps on the field,
right?
Missing kicks and things like that. But overall, yeah, well, like the Timberwolves make everyone feel better about themselves, I think.
And in the Red McCombs years, the Vikings were a laughing stock at times because of embarrassing things. But this is where, the Wolves are a really good, like them or not, a really good example of when good leadership starts at the top, right? Like this is, so when people are like, well, it's not Glenn's fault. Well, yes, it is, because it starts at the very top. And we can complain about how much the state has kicked in, but what did the Wolves do? They got a new stadium. They got the facility in Eagan, which is gorgeous, right? And Glenn decided to slap lipstick on his building, Target Center. Let's give it a makeover on the concourse. So it's a really good parallel when people say, well, it's not Glenn's fault. I mean, what's Glenn supposed to do? Gerson had an inappropriate relationship. It's Glenn's job to set a culture at the very top. And the other thing, too, is if Gerson was the tyrant that he was supposed to be, it's embarrassing that it took the well, now we've caught him red-handed with a team employee. Now we can fire him. If a guy's a tyrant and he's despised and hated, you make the move long before training camp starts.
Yeah.
So just think about those things, because the Vikings are a good example of when something is at least run correctly now.
Yeah. All right, it's halftime here on Four Question Friday, which means it's also snack time, and we recommend Pig Approved Barbecue, all right? I dare you not to salivate as I read through their menu here. This is a delicious new barbecue joint off 1237 Larpenter Avenue in the Twin Cities. PigApprovedBarbecue.com. We're talking about brisket queso dip, pork rib egg rolls. We're talking about premium prime beef, smoked fresh daily, brisket, pork, spare ribs, peach cobbler for dessert. Just ridiculous. 100% wood smoked and smoked fresh daily. Check out their full menu and order at pigapprovedbbq.com and wash it down with...
Hold on a second here. Let me think about that. Let me think about... hold on. I've got it. How about a Surly Furious? How about a Surly Furious in your hand and pig approved on your plate during a Vikings game this Sunday? Here's what I want you to do. I want you out Football. There to have a plate of pig approved and a Surly Furious, or you know what? Axeman 2, something like that. I want you to take a picture and I want to see it at Jay Zolgad on Twitter. I want to see you. Folks out there, not only support our sponsors.
Show us your cans.
But support yourself. Give yourself, treat yourself to what we're talking about here, because what we're talking about is a delicious combination. Surly is the IPA that revolutionized Minnesota beer. I'm telling you right now, don't settle. Get Surly. I want to see those pictures. Pig approved. I got one quick question. Pork ribbed egg rolls. I got to try those.
Yeah, what are we doing after this?
Is that a question or a statement?
Well, it's a statement, but it's a question, too, because I'd like to see them, and I'm curious what they look like, but they sound delicious.
They do sound delicious. PigApprovedBarbecue.com. All right, question number three here comes with a soundbite. We played this earlier in the week. How do you feel about Kyle Rudolph walking this back?
You see that day in and day out, the way he pushes us on our fundamentals, on our technique. And it's to me, it's the first time I've had a head coach that's not a defensive coordinator. So it's a head coach that's in charge of the entire team.
Okay, so I don't think anyone really, like, batted an eye. Like, he said it, and he's right. Now, Joe Judge isn't exactly Bill Belichick.
But he's
Bill
a former special teams guy. You
know? Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, when Rudolph said that, I think all of us were like, oh, that's, yeah, that definitely reflects on Mike Zimmer. Yep. Doesn't mean he's trashing Zimmer or anything, but it definitely reflects on Mike Zimmer. Well, Rudolph went on Twitter last night and had a multi-tweet thread ripping people out there, us, I don't know, who, and this, I guess that quote was from like a month ago too, and he made note of that. But can't believe this is drumming up. He said, y'all back there trying to make a comment seem like it's a shot at Zimmer when it has nothing to do with Zimmer. In context, I was stating facts that both of my previous two head coaches were defensive coordinators. I have nothing but love and respect for Zim and Leslie. How do you feel about Rudolph walking this quote back?
His need to control narratives and be in charge of his own PR, to me, is absolutely maddening. Look, he said what he said. He's not wrong. But he wouldn't have said it unless he had a meaning towards it. And do I think that he left here on great terms? No. I think that that was definitely some type of shot. Now, what it wasn't was, it wasn't an incorrect shot. It's not like he was venting and you're like, oh, Kyle is out of line. But for him now to need to come back and walk this back, and here's my other question. Who gives a damn when he said it? I said that 4 weeks ago. Okay, dude, it got published now. You still said it. It's not like it was a ventriloquist, you know, with his hand up Kyle's back. I've never played with this guy. Kyle's need to control the environment around him is absolutely, to me, such a telltale, maddening sign. It goes to, during training camp, when Irv Smith Jr. was playing great, I tweeted, Kyle being gone is fantastic because this creates an absolute positive Irv Smith Jr. is the guy. And Kyle liked it.
Yeah.
And number one, I didn't tag Kyle. So he's searching for his name on Twitter. And he,
I didn't know that. We didn't talk about this.
And I forgot about it. But anyway,
I think we briefly did.
So he thought that your tweet was a shot at him, which it was.
Well, yeah, it was. But again, it was correct.
He liked it as a way to say, like,
I'm controlling.
I see you.
Yeah,
I see
well,
you.
And I'm controlling. Like, I'm in charge here, so I'll like this. Whatever it was BS because it was an absolute. But much like his statement, my tweet was sort of a shot, but it was true. Irv Smith, healthy. Kyle being gone was good.
All right, I have two thoughts here. Thought number one is Kyle Rudolph, one of the greatest tight ends in Vikings history. He was a wonderful player for a decade in a Vikings uniform.
Golden Domer.
And two of the best pass-catching hands in Vikings history.
Yeah, it was
just absolute stick-em hands.
Mitts. He had mitts.
Back of the end zone. Yep, he did. Those big,
play the football
big
sounder,
yellow
mitts.
Because
he had mitts. He had mitts.
He did. Yep.
Football.
And he deserves all that praise. My criticism here, and even going back to his 2,500 word goodbye to the Vikings and the fans, which he named, I think we counted like 40 or 50 names or something in that article.
Matt Castle.
Like five former quarterbacks. Matt Castle.
Tommy Kramer. Wade Wilson.
Yeah,
Jeff George.
Joe Capp.
John David Booty.
JDB.
And he did not name Kirk Cousins.
Yes.
And so my criticism here is he's a little passive aggressive, if not a lot passive aggressive.
Yes.
And in this case, rather than just ignoring the buzz about this Mike Zimmer, you know, perceive Mike Zimmer slight. Just own it, man. Dude, like, you don't like Kirk Cousins. That's cool. You don't have to name like 40 or 50 players and not name, like, to not name him is going out of your way to say without saying, I don't like Kirk Cousins. You know, like, you could also just name him and not have to deal with, like, you knew that people were going to sniff out, oh my God, why did he not name Kirk Cousins, right? You know, jackals like us. And then in this case, it's very obvious what he meant about Zimmer. It didn't mean that he was trashing or destroying him. He just, Mike Zimmer doesn't really pop his head in the offensive meeting rooms very often. Everyone agrees. There's no need to be mad or you said what you said. You meant what you said.
We all agree with what you said.
Right.
So, anyways, that's my
football.
Declan?
I mean, it just, how do I say this? I'm glad he's gone. I'll just say that. I'm glad he's gone.
Wow.
I'm just glad he's gone off this team.
You guys hate Kyle Rudolph.
No, I
don't hate him. He's a great individual. He does a lot of good things off the field, but I don't think it's always genuine. That's all. I don't think
he
comes off as genuine.
That's correct.
There's other players and from other teams in this town that also have done great things in the community that I don't think are really genuinely good people.
There are.
Genuine with their actions, I should say.
To Declan's point, there are current and former players on the Vikings who would fit very well on the 2016-17 Wild.
You just feel like they're more concerned about like public perception?
Public perception, and they're selfish, okay. And they want to draw a narrative and say, don't use your brain to see who I really am. That's what they want to do. And
see,
Kyle,
I don't think he's not a bad guy. I just think he's a little passive aggressive.
I would say he's not a bad guy, and I mean he's done a lot of good things. But is he conniving to a certain degree? Absolutely. He's very worried about things he shouldn't be concerned about. But again, what he said about Zimmer and Frazier was fine. We were interpreting what he said, and then he's like, "You shouldn't interpret that." What? Yeah. And look, there are very few people in this world, and I am certainly not one, who are the smartest guy in the room. But don't act like you are unless you damn well know that you are. Like, so don't tell me I can't interpret what you said because this is what I really meant. No, Kyle, you're not that smart. Come on, buddy.
I'd still love to hear more about. I'd love to, because he didn't really react when people noticed he didn't include Kirk Cousins' name in that article. That's interesting.
Yeah, he got asked about it there.
He never really circled back on that one. Anyways, all right. Question number four here. It's the would you rather question of the week. Would you rather be in jail for 5 years or be in a coma for a decade?
Very easy for me.
I will take the coma.
Wow.
I'm not doing hard
what?
Time. Well, we're talking hard time, right?
Yeah, this is not minimum security.
If I'm playing bocce ball,
that's changed.
I'm taking the jail. But if you're talking about maximum security, maximum security, I'm taking the coma. I'd rather die than be in.
What about like medium security prison?
That I'm fine.
Where they'll give you like a, you know, you can go to the rec center for an hour.
Who's around me? You don't have a roommate. Oh well, then yeah. But if we're talking real hardcore maximum security jail,
I'll give you this. It's all right. It's not San Quentin, but it's and you get to go to the bathroom in somewhat privacy.
Then we're getting closer to playing bocce ball and tennis and squash.
It's all about bocce ball for you?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, if I'm in jail, for white collar crimes, I'm saying they play tennis and they play some bocce ball and they play some squash. Exactly, Law and Order. But if I'm in Rikers, I'm out of here.
But you'd be waking up from your coma in your early 60s.
Yeah, I'd be dead probably.
I have this thing with coma. Like, if I'm in a coma for, like, more than 6 months, just put me under. Like, I don't want to be remembered in a vegetative state. Like, loved ones and people who are watching Purple Daily right now, like, just put me out. Like, I don't want to be remembered as vegetable guy in a hospital bed. I would do the jail. Like, even if there was a war and I had the option of getting drafted or going to jail, I'm pulling the Muhammad Ali and I'm going to jail. I know I wouldn't last in war.
Let's go to Canada.
And, I don't think it's that easy just to go to Canada. I mean, everyone says that.
It was in the 60s.
Yeah, in the 60s.
Well,
60 years ago.
But there's
ago.
No draft now. You can't be drafted now.
If there's a draft,
it's been a while since we've had a draft.
Yeah, I think the last draft was Vietnam.
I don't think we're going to have a draft again, but... It does raise it. Maybe that's next week's question.
First round pick.
If you're a draft, if there's a draft, would you dodge it next week on Purple Daily?
Or would you take a quarterback first?
I don't want to give up. I don't want to give up 10 years of my life. Like I would rather live 5 years, even though you know what? I would take those 5 years. I'd read a bunch of books and I'd do a bunch of push-ups. and sit-ups. I would get in the best shape of my life.
Would you mark off
for the
each
next
day
5 years
with chalk?
Probably, yes. I'd read a bunch of books. I'd do a bunch of push-ups.
Right.
I have also figured out why Judd chose The Coma, because one of his top five favorite movies is Hard to Kill with Steven Seagal.
Yep.
Who spends like 7 or 8 years in a coma and then wakes up, puts a pair of tight jeans on, and kills everyone who put him in the coma.
Don't forget, he escapes the hospital in the gurney. He's in the gurney with like a crutch or something.
He wakes up from the coma and senses after 7 years, oh my God, we're in danger. We need to get out now. We're in danger.
Kelly LeBrock helps him.
She's like, what? You just woke up from a 7-year coma. I know. We're in danger.
Don't forget, Kelly LeBrock, too, part of her role when he's in the coma is to peel back the sheet and said, I wish you'd wake up. And I'm not talking like the sheet on his chest.
Looks like part of you's awake.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not talking about the sheet on Steven Seagal. Just one of the great thespians of our time.
That?
That's next week.
You like that?
Oh. All right, that's Four Question Friday here. Thanks on Purple Daily, presented by Surly. A couple more shout-outs here. Moon Motorsports is in Monticello. And they are offering some great deals right now heading into the fall and winter fun season. So this is in-store only, but now until the end of the month, Moon is offering big savings on all on-road motorcycle gear. It's their end-of-season blowout sale. Moon Motorsports, owned and operated for 50-plus years. It's your Polaris, Can-Am, Honda, Yamaha, etc. experts in Minnesota. And they're just a short drive from the Twin Cities Metro. MoonMotorsports.com. And also, Federated Insurance has been helping us here on Purple Daily and Score North keep the lights on for a while. And they also help your business with risk management tools and resources. So find out how Federated can help your business, help you sleep better at night. All the resources available to read about at FederatedInsurance.com. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. All right, dudes. Tomorrow, we'll give you guys some purple props, make some more Vikings Seahawks predictions. And don't forget Vikings Ventline. A record number of viewers and listeners to Ventline last week after that missed field goal loss. So come hang out with us. It's the most interactive show in Minnesota sports. And it happens on the Purple Daily YouTube channel right after the game is over on Sunday. See you guys.